Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Grace, O Lord, to answer readily the call of our Savior Jesus Christ and proclaim to all people the good news of his salvation, that we and the whole world may perceive the glory of his marvelous works, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Nehemiah. All the people of Israel gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first of the seventh month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country and began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and as was his custom, he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue was fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. I'm glad to see you all. You look all bundled up. Thanks for coming out in the cold. I have a really good friend from seminary. His name is John. John grew up with a father and mother in a family that was a little bit unstable. His dad is a Vietnam War veteran who suffers from a post-traumatic stress disorder. And all during John's childhood, his dad would drink a lot. John was never sure what the day would hold. He was always afraid because his dad would often go from work to the bar and then come home. And John never knew what his dad would act like when he got home. If he drank too much, he could get really loud, sometimes even hit. And he would always say really hateful things to John's mother. John was a nervous kid. You can understand why. He found the church when he was in grammar school, and by the time he was a teenager, it was his safe place. He loved the church. It kept him from falling off the deep end, you could say. He was devoted. And after college, he went immediately to seminary, wanting other people to experience the safety and the beauty of God's house. In the summer after his first year of seminary, John went home for a few weeks just to rest. And one morning, his mom asked him to go up into the attic to look for some books that she thought he might enjoy reading. So John found himself in this dusty old attic, looking through boxes, and he came across one box that seemed to be full of letters. He started opening the letters and reading, and it turned out that they were from his dad to his mom before the war. The letters from his dad were so joyful. Evidently, his favorite thing to do was to take the woman that he loved out to dance. And he would write about how awesome it was to dance with her, what a great dancer she was, how he loved holding her in his arms, how beautiful she was. The letters were full of joy and love and dancing. John felt like he was catching a glimpse of the dad that he never knew. So that night, John decided to go to dinner and bring a few of the letters with him. The three of them sat at the kitchen table, and after they finished eating, John pulled out a letter that his dad had written so long ago, and he said, "Dad, can I read this to you?" When he started to read, his dad started to cry. "I remember those days," he said. "What has happened to me? I used to love life. I've forgotten how to love life. I've forgotten how to love my wife. I'm so sorry, John." "What's happened to me?" For the first time in John's life, he had a real honest-to-goodness conversation with his dad. They stayed up way into the night. John was able to tell his dad what a mistake he thought it was for his dad to drink. And his dad began to listen. After that day, we continued to pray for his dad, and John's dad started AA, and he started trying to get back to the person that he was. It was a long journey and hard. But it began at that kitchen table with some love letters and with an honest conversation between a man and his son. In about the year 450 BC, there was a butler who worked for King Artaxerxes, the emperor of Persia. I call him a butler. They called him a cup bearer back then. I guess he held the emperor's cup. It sounds like a butler to me, right? I don't know. Anyway, the man's name was Nehemiah. And I guess he got close to the emperor because he started talking to the emperor and coaxing the emperor and getting the emperor to agree to let the Jews go back to their homeland, to let the people of Israel go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the city. So the emperor agreed to let Nehemiah take some of his people back and rebuild the wall. And in doing so, they found an old scroll. They found the scripture again. They found what is the love letter between God and us. So Nehemiah, as the wall was being rebuilt, he called the people of Israel all together at the water gate. at the opening of the wall. And he asked the priest Ezra to read this love letter from God, to read the Torah, the scripture. And Ezra starts to read this letter, and the people start to cry. They weep and cry. Because the people realized that they had forgotten who they were. They had forgotten what it was like to be good. They had forgotten the joy of trying to please God. They had forgotten how special they were in the eyes of God. And so they stand there listening to these words and crying. It's so easy for us to forget who we are. It's so easy for us to get caught up in the craziness of life and our own inadequacies, and to forget the beauty of who God called us to be. But if you're struggling to remember who you are, one way to rediscover yourself is to read the Bible. Most of us think we read the Bible to find out about God, and we do. But in reading the Bible, we also find out about ourselves. It's a story of our relationship with God. And in a mysterious way, reading it teaches us about who we are. It reminds us how to live life more fully and love God more deeply. You know, Jesus, in the season of Epiphany, remember last week I told you what the word Epiphany means? Showing. The season of Epiphany is Jesus showing us over and over again who he is. So on the first Sunday of Epiphany, we had his baptism and he showed us who he was when God spoke in the sky. And then last week, we had the first miracle at a wedding in Cana, when Jesus showed us who he was by turning water into wine. And today in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus shows the people of his hometown who he is. But you know how he does it? He does it by reading the Bible to them. He goes to the same synagogue where he grew up, and he stands up and he pulls out that old love letter again. And he reads from Isaiah and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I'm going to bring good news to the poor, to set the captives free." But the people of Nazareth, his hometown, they don't get it. They've already made up their minds about this kid. They saw him grow up. He's the carpenter's son. They don't believe him when he tells them who he really is. And in the Gospel of Luke, they even try to kill him. It's amazing to me that at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, they try to kill him. And at the very end, we try to kill him and we succeed. Talk about making huge mistakes, right? I don't know about you, but sometimes I think I learn more about who I am by making mistakes than by doing things right. Sometimes I bump into things and say, "No, that's not who I want to be." Sometimes I feel like a blind person groping my way towards God, bumping into this, "No, that's not it." Bumping into that, "No, that's not the person that God wants me to be." We feel sometimes so ashamed for making mistakes, but that's how we figure ourselves out. That's how human beings do it. You know, we never would have known who Christ was if we hadn't killed him. That was how we found out about eternal life, by making the biggest mistake that ever was. When John sat down across the kitchen table from his dad finally asked his son, "What am I doing wrong?" And his son was able to tell him that it was a mistake to drink. And it was a holy conversation. This year, the theme at the cathedral is courageous relationship. I want you to think about asking each other, the people that you love and trust, not only what you're doing right, but what you're doing wrong. Because that's how we learn. We learn from bumping into stuff, from figuring out who we're not, until we find out who we are. From reading the scripture and reminding ourselves how loved we are by God, but also not being afraid to look at our mistakes. So when you have those conversations with the people you love, have the courage to ask them, "What am I not doing right? What do I still have to learn?" Mistakes, I think, are painful, surely, but they are also, in some ways, a gift from God to us, helping us find our way. Amen.
Please stand as we reaffirm our faith through the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In this season of Epiphany, we remember how the light of a star revealed the light of the world. May God be our light in all times and places. Let us pray together to the Lord with all our hearts, with all our souls, saying, Christ, be our light. For the world, that all the nations of the earth may come to honor and respect one another, we pray especially for the people of the Middle East, Europe, and Africa. May we all come to know the peace of God. Let us pray together, saying, for the suffering, the hungry and the sick, the refugee and the prisoner, those who grieve and those who are alone, I invite you to speak aloud the names of those in need. Let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For our families, friends, and all those we love, for all those we encounter in our daily life and work, for those who estranged from us, and those who hate us, and for those who feel unloved, let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For the earth, that we may use its resources wisely and be thankful for the gift of all creation, let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For those who have died, both known and unknown to us, may they receive the joys of heaven. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who have died. Let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
Holy God, you desire for us to see ourselves as you made us, as your beloved and blessed children. Help us when our lives do not reflect that glory, when we make our mistakes, not to fall into shame or fear or escape, but to see those as opportunities to come home to you. We ask this, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. Let us confess our sin against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Please be seated. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the cathedral. So glad you're here. If you raise your hand if you're new, the ushers will bring you a gift, but you have to hold your hand up so they can find you. We're so glad everybody's here. Keep it up, up, up until the gift comes, and we're so glad you're here today. Welcome. Your pledge envelopes for 2016, if you haven't picked them up, are now available in the hallway going out to Tolliver Hall. Lots of people like those. They're helpful and useful. I want to thank everybody again. We've completely demolished our wall of fear. We reached our goal, and we're very grateful to all of you who pledged this year. Good job. We have some new adult education offerings on Sunday morning in Ingram Lounge. Check your bulletin for details, specifically a class called Theology 101, offered by a wonderful priest. So I hope you guys will come who are interested. After this service, we have a number of wonderful things going on. There is a coffee hour in which you're invited to meet the nominees for vestry. We have a lot of incredible people who are running for vestry this year. Next week, right after church, we're going to have a free lunch, and you will be able to elect your leadership for the coming year. That is our annual meeting. We'll be having a slideshow of pictures of the year. I'll give you a sense of how the year went, and you'll be able to elect your leadership. So come to coffee hour after church and meet some of these people so that you can make an informed vote next week. Also after church today, the AgeWell Institute is presenting a free lunch and workshop, and the topic is must-have legal documents. If you were to die, what do you need to have in place to care for the people that you love? If you haven't thought about that or had that conversation, then you need to come and find out, and they will guide you. This Friday at 5:00, we're going to offer the Stations of the Cross in Cummings Chapel, and you're invited, all of you, to come and walk the stations. It lasts about a half an hour. We're going to do that now every month throughout the year, and in the season of Lent, it'll be every week on Friday at 5 o'clock. And last but not least, if you've done Curcio, they're having a reunion next Sunday at 5 o'clock at St. Andrew's Church. Remember, it feels good to think of all the things that we do well, but it takes courage to look at the things that we don't do well.
Thanks to the Lord our God.
Thanks to grace.
God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise.
Glory to you forever.
At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile Earth, our island home. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Again and again you called us to return. Through prophets and sages you revealed your righteous law, and in the fullness of time you sent your only son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace. And therefore we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. Now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. That the grace of this holy communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great high priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, your church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Holy God, send us anywhere you would have us go, only go there with us. Place upon us any burden you desire, only stand by us to sustain us. Break any tie that binds us, except the tie that binds us to you. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ.